Hebrews 13 and 8. Then we're going to go back to 11 and 1. Brother Rex getting a microphone. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. I've been kind of wrestling with something. He's never changed. The heart and central theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the message revolves around the person and work of Jesus Christ. When God spoke the world into existence, Jesus Christ was there. From before creation, Christ was, and in turn, the eternal ages, He is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is He, Brother Rex?
Thou shalt call His name Jesus, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Holy One, Lamb of God,
yeah.
Prince of Life, Lord God Almighty, Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of David, Word of Life, Author and Finisher of our faith, Advocate, the Way, Day Spring, Lord of all, I am Son of God, Shepherd and Bishop of souls,
yeah.
Messiah, the Truth, Savior, Chief Cornerstone, King of Kings, Righteous Judge, Light of the World, Head of the Church, Morning Star, Son of Righteousness, Lord Jesus Christ, Chief Shepherd, Resurrection and Life, Horn of Salvation, Governor and the Alpha and Omega.
Hallelujah. In Genesis, He is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, He is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He is our high priest. In Numbers, He is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He is the prophet like unto Moses. In Deuteronomy, He is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, He is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, He is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, He is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, He is our trusted prophet. Oh, I wish I had He's memorized. In Kings and Chronicles, He is our reigning king. In Ezra, He is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, He is our Mordecai. In Job, He is our ever-living redeemer, for I know my redeemer liveth. Who is this fourth man they talk about? In Psalms, He is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, He is our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, He is our lover and bridegroom. If you don't know what I'm doing, they took us through the books of the Bible. And one of the great healing ministers years ago done this. And I read it before he ever quoted. I read it in an older book. But I want to tell you, it's worth repeating. I've heard other preachers say it too. But I want to tell you what. He's talking about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the fourth man in the fire. In Matthew, He is the Messiah. In Mark, He is the wonder worker. In Luke, He is the Son of Man. In John, He is the Son of God. Hallelujah. In Acts, He is the Holy Ghost. In Romans, He is our justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, He is our sanctifier. In Galatians, He is our redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, He is the Christ of unsearchable riches. And I love to preach about that. In Philippians, He is the God who supplies all our needs. Oh, thank God you can shout right there. In Colossians, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Timothy, He is our mediator between God and man. Did you hear what I said? We got a mediator between God and man. He's not a priest. He's not a man who walks in shoe leather, but He's God's only begotten Son. Glory to God that died upon the cross that we might have life. Well, I'm feeling good if you don't feel a thing. I'll wake you up in a minute when I get down there to you. In Titus, He is our faithful pastor. In Philemon, He is our He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. In Hebrews, He is the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, He is our great physician, for the prayer of faith shall save the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, He is our chief shepherd, who soon shall appear with a crown of unfading glory. Thank God. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, He is love. Thank God for love. In Jude, He is the Lord coming with 10,000s of His saints. And in Revelation, He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brother Collins gave me a birthday offering Wednesday night. Brother Don Ingham was here at the right time to get my money. I spent $70 worth of books. I'll get my money back when homecoming comes, once I've done read them. But you know what I wanted to find out? Instead of find out more about Moses, more about Abraham and Isaac and everybody else, I wanted to find out more about Jesus Christ. Because I've been saved 20 years, Brother Setzer. But glory to God, more and more, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more what my elders had. There was faith in God. And they knew how to for Jesus. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. I want to tell you, it's the same in this generation as it was in my grandma's generation, and she's here tonight. Glory to God. In my mom's generation, and she's here tonight. It's been the same. You've got to live this walk by faith. I wish I could. I felt like saying what Andy says. I wish I could preach. I get excited and I get talking fast. But I want to tell you, I got kind of excited studying this afternoon. And people tell me that the Lord still don't move and work miracles. Mark's gospel is full of the wonder, working power of Jesus' ministry. They said that the Romans worshiped power. They loved to make fine parades. They loved to march down the street, show how mighty their army was. They loved to show what they could do to captured kings and defeated foes. But you know what Mark said? Mark said, you want to see power? You want to see wonder? Let me just start telling you some of the things Jesus did. Over in around Mark chapter 5, we got the story like the preacher preached last night about Jesus on his way to help Jairus' daughter. And the maiden, they said, was dead. But you know what? As he's going along, here comes a lady with an issue of blood. And Jesus stopped us on his way and worked a miracle. She touched the hem of his garment, healed her body, went on, and they found Jairus' daughter, and everybody was crying, everybody was weeping. And you know what? In Mark chapter 5, it says this. Let me catch my breath, let you all fasten your seatbelt a little tighter, and I'm feeling good, but that don't always matter along with the service. But you know, he said this. He said, be not afraid, only believe. Hallelujah. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said to them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. Verse 40 this afternoon dropped out, and got a hold of me and wouldn't let me go. What they do is said they laughed him to scorn. How many people you all know out in the world that says God's dead, God don't care, God don't hear prayers? I can't help that if God's not saving in their church, he's a saving in our church. I can't help that if their church is dead and dry and everybody comes just to fan the flames and try to get something sparked up again. The fire's still rolling here. They said in one of the foreign countries years ago, it may have been the city of Athens, I'm not for sure, but they said they had a law, and if somebody had a candle burning and I wanted to go to Spencer and light my candle and he wouldn't let me, he would be charged because it was a crime not to let somebody else light their candle on your lighted candle. I want to tell you, if we're ever going to shine our light and tell people that Jesus Christ is still real, he's still alive, and he's still saving, healing and delivering, it's now. They laughed him to scorn. I've been laughed at, mocked, criticized, rebuked. But you know, when I was praying today, I got a hold of that, and I thought, Jesus got rid of all the scorners and mockers. And I'm just trying to remember back from memory, but I may miss a few parts. But he got everybody out of the house, but he took mom and dad in there with him. And he got in there and prayed. And you know what? They can say all they want, brother, but when the evidence comes walking out, they got to quit their mocking. They got to quit their scoffing. Hallelujah. I was sitting there last, or Brother Collins kind of quickened my memory last night when he talked about seeing the glory. And I thought, oh God, when I first got saved, I had been raised and made to go to church when I was young. And Hubert, when I got up to the age I wanted to rebel, man, we were gone. Or we thought we was, Timmy. But you know what? We never got away from God. We never got away from Jesus Christ. You know why? Because everywhere I went, I seen somebody taking a light and lighting another candle and bringing the gospel. I couldn't get away from the light as far as I tried to get in the darkness. I met somebody else that had a lighted candle, and it reminded me that God was still alive, and prayers were still going up, and I might turn back to God. I wanted to try things. I wanted to do things. But something would stop me. And I'm so thankful that something got a hold of me. You better say amen. I went to Kevin's house as many times as he was a friend. I wasn't going there because I was just trying to buy time. I really liked him. A man, he had pretty curls going down his back. Had that pretty little moustache. I never could make my hair look like that. I just quit trying. I did go to the barber the other day, Gary. Same one, the old man, Mr. Miller. I said, everybody said you took too much off the sides. Don't lay the clipper so far in there. Someone thought I had surgery. So anyway. But you know what? I wasn't the only one that took my candle around Brother Kevin. And I don't care how many people he ran into and said, brother, God says you've gone too far. And to try to discourage him, he's sitting right there. He's been preaching the gospel now for a little while. You know what? God still hears and answers prayer, because you know why? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Well, Brother Dwayne, when I first got saved, I loved going to my elders and hearing what God had done. And young people, it may do you to catch Brother Setzer as he gets him a piece of candy out of the candy bowl back there and says, why don't you tell us of some of the glory you've seen and how God moved? Because I want to tell you, one man told me last night, said, it ain't the same Pentecost as it was before. I said, well, it's the same Pentecost, because it never changes. Because the Pentecostal that I'm used to comes by prayer and fasting, separation from the world. You might work it up in a little dance step, and you may work it up by a song and a beat. And I mean, I get excited about things nobody else does. Seems like nobody got happy about my glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, thank God I'm saved. But it was an old Claudie, or an old song. I don't know who. I got it off another tape. I think Claudie may have sung it. I don't know. But anyway, I love them old songs. You know why? Because when I listen to them, it brings me back to memories of a little Pentecostal church where the power of God used to roll, and it makes me hunger and thirst for the 2000 and this day and age to see the same power that I see when I was a young man rolling again across the church. I've not seen a lot of things. Brother Collins missing Jack Cole last night. The man I was sitting with has picked me up a pamphlet from Texas, and I'm going to get some tapes of Brother Jack Cole Sr. preaching and some books. I'll pass them out to you. And I mean, I love to hear about those men and the miracles that they've done, because it makes me hungry. Because you know what? God is not restricted. Hey, that's what Mark was showing us. The same power that rolled in Jesus' ministries. You know what Jesus said? He said this. He said, glory to God. Jesus didn't call these miracles, but he called them the works of my Father. And John 10:37 said, and in John 10:14-12, he said, greater works than these shall you do. Oh, hallelujah. It's not a thing of the past. It's a thing of the now. And I want to tell our young people, get a hold of God. I've got a book downstairs called Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians. It tells of life's story of people that got alone with God and determined they was going to have an experience with God, that they were going to have a miracle in their life. I want to tell you, it takes paying the price. But thank God, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Man, can you all raise your hands and pray for me right now? God, I'm excited, but I've got to stay on direction. And help me, God. I want these young people to realize the power of God can still move. They've seen the power. But Lord, I want them to see your glory. I want them to see your wonder. Hallelujah. I want them to light their candle. I want them to take it out to the world. I read the story in the Christian Reader about the girl that had drifted off, and Brother Danny got up here and told a little bit about it when he came up from Georgia and got out and run with the wrong crowd and the wrong friends. And that little girl was writing her notes and saying, why don't you kill your mom and dad and get rid of the trouble? And mom and dad started finding some of the notes, and they got a restraining order against that friend. And finally realized that wasn't enough. They took her out of school, put her in a Christian school, and it changed her, that girl's life. And she's the one from the Columbine shooting that got killed. I believe her name's Cassie. And they said it changed her life. And she went away to a weekend retreat one time and come back, said, Mom, I am changed. God's got a hold of my life. Jesus Christ has been real to me, been made real to me. And she had to prove herself to her mom. The story tells, Mom and Dad says, we didn't trust her at first. She had to prove her faithfulness to us. But you know, she stayed true to God. And she went back to high school and was being a witness. And then in a few short time, her life was taken away at a young age when those boys went into that high school and went on that shooting rampage. But I thought, oh God, it made me think of my two girls, and I know what's like peer pressure and everything else. And sometimes you get around certain friends, and I've tried to tell my girls, if the one you're sitting by don't want to pray, then your orders is to go sit by mom, because we want you to get in church. You don't get nowhere with Jesus Christ sitting back there and playing church. You've got to press in. You've got to get on fire for God. I was downstairs at night, and Asa's singing. I thought, oh God, it sounds good. And I turned my tape player off, and I listened to him sing. I thought, oh God, get a hold of their lives. Get a hold of their lives, God. And I think this, young people, you'll never lose out with God if you get a deep experience with God. If you realize that Jesus' power never changes, and you can do mighty works for God too. Oh God. I went to my elders, and I sat and took time, and I had them tell of the stories, time after time, of miracles, healings, and different things. And that stayed with me. And not only stayed with me, it gave me a hunger to get some of my own experiences. And it was trying to get a hold of God and find direction and find out which way to go that I dropped off the girl that I was dating. And I knew it wasn't going nowhere. I dropped her off. They had Christmas dinner going on at my grandma Ferguson's house. She's sitting back here. But I didn't want to go to see the family. I wanted to go talk to Jesus. I wanted to get a deeper experience. I'm not saying you to pat me on the back, say how precious he is. I'm telling you, I was at a crossroads, and I said, Lord, I've got to have something more than what just the stories of my elders. I've got to have an experience myself. And I went to the altar beside my bed in my bedroom. Nobody there. It had been a few short years before this that I got the Holy Ghost there. And man, I got alone with God and began to talk. And as I began to talk, the Holy Ghost came down again. And I never had it happen before or since. But I began to give a message in tongues. When the message was done, I felt like I was sitting beside myself. I interpreted my own message. I've never done it since. But God began to speak to my heart. I got a deep experience that night that got me on the rock and gave me a vision and gave me determination. I want to say, young people, I know we live day by day, but glory to God, get your eyes on the cross. Get your eyes off the world and keep on praying. Keep on singing. Get an experience with God that will not let you be shaken by every wind that comes blowing along. Get a hold of God. Get a deeper experience of God. Get in there and seek God's face. Oh, God. You know, I've told this here, and I felt like today I should tell it again. And I'm not going to keep you long. It's 5 till 7. And you all know how I started praying. But I felt like I need to talk to some of the young people and some of the converts. I started praying. God started dealing with me. I was trying to get a hold of God. I was trying to get an experience with God for myself. I can't go on nobody else's experiences but my own. I can talk to the elders. I can find out what's going on. But I got this promise of what God done yesterday, what God done years ago, he can still do today. And I held on to that promise, and I began to seek God, and I began to pray. God, I want a miracle. I want to see a miracle. And he let me get in a tight spot financially, and while I was down praying, being laid off, somebody slipped some money in my pocket at a church. I didn't know it was money. I thought it was hankies. I always sweat and snot a lot when I get a hold of God, and I'd been so discouraged when I walked into church that night, I didn't care. I felt like God would never speak to me again. But you know, Brother Gary, he was just waiting on me. He was just waiting on me. When I got down to the altar, and started praying. God began to talk to me and rebuke me for being so sad and acting like he had forsaken me. While I was praying, somebody slipped some money in my pocket, and I got up and the rent was due, and I counted the money out. And I'm telling you, you don't have to tell nobody nothing. Don't play on people's sympathies. Just talk to God. And I counted that money out. It was $235. It was the exact amount I needed to pay the rent. God knew I was laid off. God knew I wasn't drawing unemployment. God knew I'd tried to find work. I'd done everything I know to do. But take it to Jesus. When I took it to Jesus, that was what he was waiting for me to do. He was wanting to prove himself in my generation that he was still able to move mountains. Glory to God and work miracles that I might be able to tell the story to somebody else. And then I started praying. I said, God, I've never seen a miracle take place of healing. And I began to pray. We went to my mother-in-law's house on a Christmas Eve, around 95. And it was Christmas Eve. I came in from work all tired and wore out. And while we were sitting there passing the food out, I was ready to eat. I'd worked all day. And, if you've been around me at the table, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I was enjoying my food. And my brother-in-law come in, all bent over, holding his back. And we hunted and fished a lot. And he's always a good, strong, healthy guy. He was a welder for a trade. And he come in, and he was in pain. And he walked past me, and I didn't get up and run after him. I didn't feel no burden. I didn't feel no direction. It was a Christmas party, and I just went on eating because I knew we had church that night. And I went on eating, and they took him in the back room. Here in a few minutes, they come back out, and I wasn't even done with my plate yet, and they said, Mike, we want you to come pray. And I swallowed. I said, Lord, I didn't ask for this. I've been working all day. I'm physically wore out. I had to drive from Kentucky all the way up here to Franklin. I mean, I'm totally wore out. But I want to tell you, it changed my life around because I've been praying, God, I want to tell my generation, the one that I graduated high school with, when I see my friends on the street, I want them to tell them, look, you got a problem. You're facing cancer. You're facing something the doctors give up on. I want to tell them with my own eyes, not what Mamma Ferguson or my great-grandma told me, but I want to tell my generation that I'd seen it with my own eyes, that God could heal. And they called me back to that room that night. They was all gathered in there, and he was laying with his arms across the bed, his knees on the floor. He was moaning and crying because he was in so much pain. And they said, Mike, you've got to pray. If God don't heal him, we're going to call 911. And I thought, God, why you put me in this spot for? Why? I thought the healing I would see take place would be at a church service with Brother Collins or some other man of God laying hands on somebody and me praying with him and see the miracle take place. But you know what? God knew what he was doing. He puts us in a spot sometimes, not that we can get the glory, but that he might get the glory. And we prayed the first time. And brother, I was embarrassed. If you ever go out to town with Brother Routon, and you tell him your dad's lost, don't be embarrassed when he grabs your hand and says with that deep voice, let's pray right here. Because that's what he done to me and Mark out in Oklahoma. And when he first started praying, I was embarrassed. I thought, God, everybody's looking at us in this Walmart. And then I thought, who cares? My dad's dying lost. Brother Routon called on God like he would in a church service. And you know what? I swallowed my pride and said, thank you, God. And that's what God was wanting me to do. I want to tell you, we can't help it. We tell everybody, we hold our light high. But then when they turn to us and they want the answer, and we've got to point them to the way. Sometimes we get embarrassed. And I prayed the first prayer, and I was just a little simple, cute little prayer. It didn't go nowhere. And I thought, Lord, she said, well, I'm going to call 911. I said, no, Reba, we're going to pray again. And we prayed the second time. I felt a little touch of the Holy Ghost, and that's where the Holy Ghost will give you that power to make you bold. And I swallowed all. I said, Lord, I can't help it. I didn't ask for this. They came to me, and now I'm representing you. And Lord, I'm not going to get the help, but I need you to come down and get my brother-in-law to help. He is in bad shape. He's crippled, and we don't know what's wrong with him. But God, he used to be able to walk upright and walk all right, but he's got so much pain now, he can't even stand. And it's only been a half an hour, and I thought, God, we're in a desperate situation, and we need a move of God. And I got bold. I got everybody out of the house. Everybody out of that room that was in the house, that was a scorner and was mocking. You know, you can have people in there. There's a lot of people in there, Brother Crutcher. They're not wanting to pray. They're just wanting to watch you. And sometimes they want to make fun of you. But you know what? I got bold. I thought about the scripture where Jesus run him out. And I said, I want everybody out of here. But me and my wife, Tanya and Russell Cheek, I want them back here. And me and Vincent and his wife, Reba. I got bold. And man, we went to prayer the third time. I said, God, I'm going to pray like I'm in church. I closed my eyes so tight. I couldn't tell whether it was midnight or noonday. I said, Lord, I gritted my eyes and gritted my teeth and shut my eyes. And I said, oh, God, we're desperate. And the mom's crying, and the wife's crying. And I said, everybody's all tore up. And man, we started praying. We said two words, Brother Larry. And the Holy Ghost began to fall. And when the Holy Ghost began to fall, I began to speak in tongues. My wife began to speak in tongues. I heard Tanya and Russell speaking in tongues. All of a sudden, the power of God fell. I started shouting around the room. It wasn't church when I first started praying, but it was church now. Jesus was in the house, and it was time to worship God. Glory to God. I was so worried about how we was going to pray the right prayer to get the right key in the right lock to answer the healing. But God had different plans. He wanted me to throw my hands up and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I don't know what to do, but call on God. You know, I started praying. I started speaking in tongues. I started shouting. And I want to tell you, Brother Dwayne, stand to your feet. I can take this to my grave. I can face any devil on the street. Nobody's going to tell me God don't heal. Because not only did I hear, not only did I see, but I had my hand on his back. And I felt something roll over and go back in place. And I seen him as he stood to his feet, healed by the power of God. I want to tell you, he walked out of that room. My little girl said, Daddy, when you all start speaking in tongues, the sinners. Now, she didn't call them sinners. She called them aunts and uncles. But when you're away from God, you're a sinner. You know, they didn't care that me and my wife walked in with our holiness attire. They didn't care when we walked in from Kentucky. My wife with her long sleeves and long hair, me with my short haircut, even though sometimes it does look like I'd had surgery. That didn't affect them one bit. But what affected them, Brother Timmy, was when the power of God fell, Rebecca and Leanne said, Daddy, they began to put their cigarettes in their ashtrays. They began to hush their filthy talk, and they started bowing their heads, and some of them started crying. It wasn't because Mike Barker was praying a prayer and crying out to God, but it was because the God of heaven had came down a little Christmas Eve night to meet a need of a sinner, to show the world that he's still alive, and he's still healing, and answered prayer. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. I want to tell you, young people, you need an experience with God to face this devil generation. Something that you can take to your grave that you know, that you know, that you know God done. Hey, he walked out there and started fixing his plate. I stayed in the room and apologized to God for the way I was embarrassed when I first started praying. When I finally walked out, Vince's mom was there that day. Vince, I said it wrong. Vince had been saved just a few weeks. Vince's mom wasn't saved, and a lot of people in the house wasn't saved. She grabbed my hand, Brother Ronnie, little bitty old short woman. Her name was Maisie, shaking my hand, crying, so broken she couldn't even hardly talk. And I finally caught the words she was saying, and she was saying, thank you for healing my son. Thank you for healing my son. I said, hold it right there. I did not do nothing to your son. But I said, Maisie, the God of heaven loves you. He loves your boy. And I said, Maisie, God came down tonight, and he's the one that healed your boy. She didn't get saved that night, but it wasn't very long after that she got saved. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still working miracles. He's still doing wonders and mighty works. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. I love to preach on faith. I love to preach on trust in God. But I want to say this. We've got to determine in our heart we're going to get a deeper experience with God. It's 7:05. I don't need to say nothing else. We need to get in and seek God. There's no telling what God's going to do in this service. Right here stands a man who prayed this morning, and he's back tonight. Thanks God. You know what? He's been coming to the altar every night almost. Hallelujah. And God's still working. God's still moving. And I want to say this. God has not changed. Hallelujah. He's the God that cannot change, cannot fail. Glory to God, and cannot lie. We just got to put our trust in him. Let's all find an altar. Pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for my dad. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. There's been some men in this church I've been a praying for. There's been some wives, husbands I've been a praying for that's not saved. Glory to God. There's been those that are sick in this church I've been a praying for. And I believe in God to move, because He's moving before and He'll move again. And I love this scripture. I quote it to the devil all the time. He is not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah. What He's done for one, He'll do for you. Oh, glory to God. It's just an act of our faith. It's all an act of our faith. Oh, God, let us ask nothing. Let us ask in faith, nothing wavering. Oh, God. I'm thankful, Lord, that You're wonderful, that You're powerful, that You're mighty.